God is now leading us in a new direction. He's leading us to take another step of faith beyond what we've been doing today and where we've been in the past, to really step into our future and to maximize our potential as a local church. Now God seems to be opening the door for us to have our own facility, our own building. If you could just imagine for a moment, a building with a sign out front that says The Edge Church, and it really is that spiritual home for our church family.
We want to create a place where people can hear the good news of the gospel, where people's lives can intersect the teaching of the scripture. We want to see a place where our kids can grow up and hear the word of God. We want to have a place where we can bring our friends and they can hear God's word, a place where we can be challenged and inspired spiritually. And so that's what this place is about. Somebody says, where's the building going to be? We don't know. You know, when are we going to have the building? We don't know. You know, what's all the details? How much is it going to cost? Well, we don't know. Faith is when you take the first step and you don't know what the next step is. Then God opens that door. Then you take another step and you don't know what the next step is. Then God directs over here. Then you take that step. God is saying, I want you to go to the land of promise, but you don't know where it's going to be. You know, God didn't show us Southeast Aurora until we decided to move to the Denver metro area. And God didn't show us Coyote Hills Elementary School, where we had our first service, until He showed us our living room. And God didn't show us Liberty Middle School, where we moved last year, until He showed us Coyote Hills Elementary School, where we started. You take the first step, you answer the calling of God, you believe God for great things, and God will open the doors for whatever needs to happen.
How about that? Oh, we are so glad you're here. We welcome you to Edge Church this morning. Let's just give it up for our guests that are in the house today. I see a lot of guests that are here. So glad that you're with us today. Great day to be a guest at Edge Church. We welcome you today. Today is such an exciting day as we think about the future and the exciting things that God has for us in the days ahead. I was reminded this week of my freshman year in high school. I had the opportunity to make the varsity track team, and I went to a smaller school, and so I got a chance to run with the big kids. You know, I was about 120, you know, my freshman year in high school, just barely hit puberty, you know, and I was the second fastest 1600 meter runner on our team, and the guy that was the fastest was a senior. His name was Steve, and Steve was kind of like the one that the coaches had all of the confidence in. You know, he was going to be our contender at the district championship. And, you know, all season long, senior Steve beat me. I mean, it wasn't funny. This guy was big. He was strong. He was more experienced. You know, I was just a scrawny little freshman. And that my goal going into the district championship was to at least score 1 point for my team. And if you know about track and field, you know that actually the top six contestants score points for the team. If you get sixth place, you get 1 point. If you get fifth place, you get 2 points for the team, and then it goes on up to 10 points for first place. So I wanted to at least get 6 points, at least 1 point, sixth place. Anyway, senior Steve is leading the pack for our team, and senior Steve is about 20 or 30 yards ahead of me going into the final lap. And for you non-athletic types, the 1600 meter run is 4 laps. Okay, so that's pretty close to a mile. And I was behind. You know, if I was going to take senior Steve down, I had to move quickly. And they always teach you in distance running that you're supposed to save a little bit for the end. Because how many of you know that when you're running a distance, if you're in first place, but you don't save any gas for the last 200 meters, you are in bad shape. And I noticed that I was a little bit behind, but maybe I would just kind of like at least have a prayer. I don't know. I didn't even know if it was possible. I felt like David on the field of battle with Goliath, with Senior Steve out there. But you know what happened? Going into the last straight, Senior Steve looked like he had a comfortable lead. He was certainly going to beat me. I mean, he was way ahead. But you know what he started doing as we were going down those final meters? He turned his dead sprint into just a little jog. Just kind of a casual, cool. I thought he was going to wave to the cheerleaders, you know, in the stands, or smile for a photo op with his mom, or I don't know what he was doing. He just slowed down like this. And you know what? This was my opportunity. And he didn't see me coming behind him. And so I was running. And by the time that he saw me, the freshman was right there on him. It was too late. And I out-leaned him at the finish line. And I beat Senior Steve. You know why? Because he quit too early. He didn't finish what he had started. He got focused on something else. I don't know if he was thinking about his girlfriend or I don't know what was going on, but he missed the opportunity. He missed the opportunity. And when I think about Edge Church and where God has specifically positioned us at this time, it is evident that God is saying to us, it is time to finish the race. We've been in this journey to have our own facility since the fall of 2012. You just saw the video there, and you saw kind of our history. When we stepped out in faith in September, October of 2012, we said, God is leading us to have a facility that is our own. We have no idea where that is. And we began to pray, and we began to ask God where he would lead us and direct us. And, you know, I'm convinced that God doesn't show us the next step until we take the first step. Sometimes we feel like we have to know everywhere that we're going before we follow God's direction for our lives. But in essence, God says, I'm looking for people who will just take the first step. And if you'll just take the first step, then God will begin to show you the next step. And so that's what we did, and we raised a little bit of money. And after that, several months after we had our initial project, and we raised about $400,000, God opened the door for us to move into this facility to rent this building. And at the time, we had no idea where that was going to be. But as time wore on, God opened the door for us to move here. And we've been here the last 15 or 16 months. But you know what? Now God has opened another door. And that other door is the opportunity to buy this building. And that's what we're so close to being able to pull off and to do. And that's why we've been celebrating our history and also the great future that God has for Edge Church, because we are in a race. And see, I believe that we're not in the first lap of the race, but we're more like in the third lap of the race. And God is saying to us this morning, Edge Church, let's finish what we started. Let's finish what we started. I want us to look at the life of Abraham today, because Abraham was a man that had a journey. He had a race. It was 500 miles. God said to him in that ancient Mesopotamian land in the place called Ur, God said, I want you to leave Ur and I want you to move to the land of promise. It's 500 miles away from home, but I'm leading you in a race, Abram, and I'm taking you somewhere that you have never been before. And he said in Genesis 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country and your relatives and your father's family and go to the land that I will show you. And in one translation, the Bible uses the word go. Go to the land of promise. Go. God is a going God. You know what? When you live a life of faith, you're always going somewhere. God is always leading. If you're following the Lord, you don't ever get to the point where you're not going somewhere. Amen. And God had a direction. He said, Abram, it's time to go. It's time to leave where you are. And he said, first of all, you got to follow your calling. Come on. So you got to follow your calling. He gives the example here to Abram. Leave the native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. And a calling is a prompting or an urgency given to us by the Holy Spirit as to what we are to do. A calling is not casual. A calling is not just an idea. A calling is not just a feeling. A calling is not just an interest, but a calling is that urgency when God puts something in us that we cannot get away from. That's a calling. That's a calling. And in the life of Abram, it was this challenging calling to leave all that he had ever known to go to the land that God was going to lead him and where God was going to show him. Now, there's general callings. You know, there's a lot of things that God calls all Christians to do. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. Tell people the good news. You know, we're Christ's ambassador. We want to represent Jesus well. And I mean, there's lots of general callings. But did you know God also has specific callings? Specific callings. Specific callings are specific instructions for individuals or groups of people. God says, I want Abram, this wasn't for everybody, I want Abram to move from Ur to the land of promise. You know what? God has been moving our church. God has a specific plan for Edge Church, and that specific plan has been to move into this facility and to buy this building so that when our lease is up, we do not have to move out. That's been the specific calling. You notice in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, the New Testament comments on the faith of Abram. And Abram is the prototype of faith. He's recognized by three great world religions as the father of faith. Muslims look to Abram as the father of faith. Jewish people and also Christians all look to Abram as the father of faith because there were some things that Abram understood about the callings and the direction of God that is so relevant and so powerful for our lives today. Look at verse 8 of Hebrews 11. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave his home to go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance, and he went without knowing where he was going. Isn't that great? You ought to underline on your little outline. He went without knowing where he was going. How is that possible? How is that possible? It's because sometimes God gives you a direction without a destination. Sometimes God will say, I want you to start moving kind of over there. Well, God, where are we going? Well, I'm going to show you that. But in the meantime, I need you to get that direction. You need to go over there. God will give us sometimes a direction without a destination. This is what's going on in the life of Abram. And he has this calling. And I love this word calling here in Hebrews 11 because in the language of the New Testament, this is a present participle, which means that God kept calling. A participle is one of those words that ends in ing. And it means God kept calling. He kept calling. See, when God puts a calling on your life, you cannot get away from it. Come on, Pastor. He keeps calling. He keeps calling. He keeps calling. This wasn't just one day Abraham just got up and just thought, well, man, maybe God's leaving me. No, this was something the voice and the Spirit of God is speaking to Abraham. He cannot get away from it. It is a calling from God. And I love this because it's in the passive voice, this verse, calling, because it means in the passive voice that the subject is the one that is not doing the action, meaning that God is the one who initiates the call. You see, our responsibility is not to initiate the call. Our responsibility is to respond to the call that God has given to us. That's our opportunity. So when God calls, what we do is we have to answer. We have to answer. And walking by faith means that you're moving ahead in confidence, but you're not really sure where you're going. Somebody just thought, man, that's my life, you know. I'm moving, but I don't know where I'm going. You just start moving the direction. God will give you the destination for your life. We got to answer the call. Now, there's one person in my life that I answer the phone when they call every time. That's my wife, okay? It's a good thing. I'm a good husband. I learned that. Always answer the wife's call. But there was an exception. And I was at Starbucks a couple weeks ago, and I left my phone in the car, and I was in there doing some work, and about 10 or 15 minutes had gone by, and I thought, I don't have my phone, you know? And when you don't have your phone, sometimes it's like you don't have your socks on or something, you know. It's like, where's my phone? So I went out to the car to get the phone, and Gina had called five times. How many of you know that's bad? That's real bad. That's like somebody died or something. So I'm panicked. I listen to the voicemail. There's this screeching voice on there. Gina's screaming. She's saying, the garage springs have broken. I'm trapped in the garage. I can't get the kids to school. I need you to get home. And, you know, she's panicked. Where are you? You know, that kind of thing. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I picked up the phone, called her, discovered what had happened. You know, it was during that ice storm when everything was frozen shut. The garage door got frozen shut. Gina kept pushing the button, hoping that it would, you know. Anyway, it didn't work out so well. But I said, just lift the garage. She said, I tried and I can't. I found out later our garage door weighs 500 pounds. It's like composite wood, you know. My wife is strong, but she's not, you know. So I got the kids to school that day, trying to pay more attention to my phone. But you know what? Everybody gets calls that they want to screen. In fact, I got on this call list, and these weird robocalls come like 3 times a day from all over the United States. They're looking for some guy named James Zeller. And I keep telling the people, just because our last names rhyme doesn't mean that I know where this guy is. This guy's like a fugitive or owes somebody some money. I don't know. Some guy named Luigi with a pinky ring has been calling me trying to find out where James Zeller is. I don't know. I just push the lock button on the phone. You know, when I see calls from Vermont or something, I don't know anybody in Vermont. I don't even know if they have people there, you know. I just push lock. I screen the call. You know, I don't want to take that call. But you got options. When somebody calls you, you got options. You know, if you got an iPhone, it kind of looks like that. You can push the green button. You can answer the call. You can push the decline button. You can say, I don't want to take the call. You can push the lock button. Or you know what? If you want to get tricky, you can actually send a text message back to somebody. Or you can even send yourself a reminder to call that person later. I love to screen calls. I was texting somebody the other day and the bubble showed up. And so I knew that they were like writing me back, but then they didn't. And I texted them and I said, I know you are there. Don't you scream my call. I'm coming after you. Isn't it interesting that God issues a call? And when God calls, we have some options. You know what the options are? We can answer the call or we can decline the call. We got options. When God calls, pick up the phone. Listen, we want to be the church. We want to be the church when God calls. We push the green button. We want to be the church that steps up to the plate of opportunity and says yes to God.
Yes.
Answer the call.
Come on.
Answer the call. When God calls, what is your response? Do you ignore the call? Do you silence the call? Do you take the call? God has a calling for our church. It is to pledge $900,000 over the next 36 months to our project. And I am so happy to tell you that some of our leaders got together this weekend, and already 56% of the money, over $512,000, has already been committed. Come on. How about that? That's just the beginning. That's just the start. That's just the start. We are answering the call. So what we need today is to get that final $400,000 in pledges at least. I'd love to go over our goal. Amen. I know we could use it. Edge Church, let's answer the call. Let's answer the call that God is initiating to us. Let's answer that call. Now, bold faith begins with a calling. You know, a lot of people are bold, but if you're bold and you have a calling, you have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life. See, just being bold apart from the call, you know, all you have is audacity. But you put courage with a calling, you got a dynamic life, you got a dynamic family, you got a dynamic church. We want to put those together. I was thinking about the backseat driver this week. I don't know. Anybody here ever get nervous with backseat drivers? I do. My wife is a backseat driver. She's a backseat driver who sits in the passenger seat. She gives a lot of orders. We have serious debate in our family and in our marriage about the best route from home to church. My wife swears that the best way to come is down Smoky Hill Road, but I'm a Quincy guy. When I'm driving, I go down Quincy, she goes down Smoky Hill. We had this hot debate. I tell her it's actually longer, but she says, no, it's not, because I make all the green lights, and so I get there faster. So we have agreed to disagree. When she drives, we go down Smoky Hill, and when I drive, we go my way. But you know, backseat drivers can make you crazy. Backseat drivers will tell you which lane to drive in, how fast to go, where to turn, what route. Have you ever noticed that before? And sometimes I do a little backseat driving myself. You know what my wife does? When she's driving and she stops like at a red light, she pulls right up behind the car in front of us, like inches away. And there are occasions I've actually pulled one of these numbers. Like, I don't know if that's going to help anything in the back seat or the passenger seat, but to stop and, whoa, you know, that kind of thing. She's like, leave me alone. Let me drive this car. Backseat drivers, man. I always wait to the last second to change lanes. If anybody's cutting you off in an SUV on Smoky Hill, that's me. All right? Just forgive me. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I do it sometimes. You know, in the Christian life, we have to realize that God is the driver. But you know, a lot of times we want God to drive, but we want to give him the directions. God, I want you to drive, but I want you to be here at this time, and I want you to go this route. And by the way, God, I need you to speed up a little bit, or I need you to slow down, or I need you to do a little this, or I need you to do a little this. God says, let me drive. And when you respond to the calling of God in your life, you know what you're saying? You're saying, God, I'm going to let you drive, and we're going to go where you want to go. We're going to get there when you want us to get there. We're going to go at your pace. We're going to drive in your lane. God, I want to let you drive. So God can do more when we follow God. God can do more with our lives than we could ever do by ourselves. If you read the commentary on Abram and Hebrews chapter 11, you see multiple examples of faith. Genesis 12 is just one. Abram was always living by faith, and are often living by faith. He had a few mistakes that he made along the way, but in verse 11 of Hebrews 11, Abram is advanced in age. He's 100 years old, and you know what? He has a son. He has that son of promise named Isaac, the one that God had been promising him for like a really, really long time. See, that's a God thing. If you're 100 years old and you're having babies, that's God. That's the Lord. Don't freak out. That's God. And we know that also in verse 19, God miraculously provided a ram as a substitute for the sacrifice on Mount Moriah. Abram is about to take the life of Isaac to offer the sacrifice, and there's that great commentary going up the mountain, and the son Isaac says to Abram, hey dad, did you forget the sacrifice? And he says something so profound, the Lord will provide. Isn't that great? Today, I want to just say that to your life today, whatever's going on in your life, the Lord will provide. Remember that, the Lord will provide. And when they get to the top of the mountain and he's about to sacrifice his son, there's a ram caught in the thicket because the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. See, this building was not my idea. It wasn't a group of people's idea. This was what God had orchestrated. This was God's calling from the beginning. And some of you know our story. In 2008... A pastor friend called me. We had just moved to town. We didn't have one person in the church. We didn't have a Bible study. The pictures weren't on the wall. And the pastor said, meet me at this address. And he gave me this address, 19697 East Smoky Hill Road. And we walked in and looked at this building. And he's like, well, what do you think? I was like, man, this is a nice church. And he said, well, I think this is your church building. I told Gina later, I said, that was either one of the strongest words from God I've ever heard, or that pastor is crazy. Because he told me the sticker price. And I thought, man, it would be an awesome place, but even is that possible? Is it possible? You know what? With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Yeah. Now, the scripture tells us to reach our calling, we got to sacrifice to reach the calling. And all through Abram's life, he sacrifices reason. Go to the land that I will show you. I don't know where I'm going. Can you imagine that commentary between Sarah and Abram? Hey, honey, we're moving. Where are we going? Well, I got no idea, but God's leading us somewhere else. Sometimes you have to abandon reason to live by faith. They abandoned relationships. They left their family and their loved ones, and they abandoned their routine, what was comfortable. You know what? Biblical commentators tell us that Ur, this land in Mesopotamia, was the most advanced and affluent place in the world the time that Abraham lived there. Many of the homes that had been excavated from the time of Abraham had 12, 13, 14 rooms. The walls were plastered, which regulated temperature. In the ancient world, they didn't have HVAC systems, but they could plaster the walls. There were precious jewels and stones, and all of these artifacts have been found in this land called Ur. Abraham had it going on. He was living in the fat palace. And God said, I want you to go to some desolate, barbarian place, the land of Canaan, the place of Israel. You know, sometimes you got to make some sacrifices to reach your calling. And sometimes we just so addicted to living a life of comfort that we miss opportunities that God is putting before us. Today, we're asking our church this morning to make sacrificial pledges. Because you know what sacrifice is? Sacrifice is giving up something we love for something that we love more. And we all have things that we love, but you know what we love more? We love Jesus Christ. We love the mission. We love the gospel. We love what God is doing in our lives. We love that more. And that's why the Bible tells us that when we follow the calling, that blessings always follow calling. Get your life in line with the calling of God. God will bless you. It's true in every area of life. It's true in your finances. It's true in your marriage. It's true in your church. It's true in your social life. Follow God's calling and you will find blessing. Look at this in verse 2 and 3. There's six blessings that are outlined in the life of Abram. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous. And you will be a blessing to others. And I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. And isn't it interesting that God doesn't give Abram any directions, but he just tells him about the blessings. He said there are going to be six blessings. You know, when you follow the calling of God, God will bring multiple blessings in your life. God will bring blessings in your life that you did not even think were possible. He says, first of all, I'll make you a great nation. The Jewish nation is the only ancient people still exist that have their land and their language and their faith. There's nobody that has the history of the nation of Israel. And these are Abram's descendants. He says, number two, I will bless you. And in Genesis 13, Abram is so wealthy that his neighbors hate his guts. They're jealous of him. Number three, he says, your name will be great. Abram's name is mentioned in 11 of the 27 books of the New Testament. He is mentioned in all four Gospels, and his name is mentioned more than 300 times in the Bible. His name is great. He said, number four, I love this one, you'll be a blessing. You know what? When you get in line with the calling of God, your life, your church, your family, fill in the blank, will be a blessing. You will bless other people. You'll be a blessing. Number five, he says, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And then number six, all peoples of the earth will be blessed by you. How is that possible? Because Abraham was the ancestor, the great, 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 great something grandfather of Jesus Christ. And it was through his lineage that the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would be born. And and would later die on a cross and rise from the grave on the third day so that you and I could have new life. See, through the seed of Abraham, all peoples of the earth have been blessed. This man was a man of faith, and because he was a man of faith, he's given us a powerful example, hasn't he? See, when we give, we know that God is going to bless. God's going to bless it because we're following the calling. And, you know, our church, our mission here is to be a blessing. I mean, we want to bless other people. Our business office just let me know that this week that we have just led our 900th person to faith in Christ. Is that not awesome? Over 900 people have committed their lives to Christ here through the ministry of Edge Church. We're looking forward to that 1,000th. We're going to have a party when that happens. It's going to be awesome. But see, the church is to be a blessing. And sometimes people ask, well, how do you know God's with you? How do you know God's with you? How do you know that God is blessing the work? How do we know this is a God thing? You know what I say? Look at the evidence. Look at the evidence. If you look at Acts chapter 11, in verses 21 and 23, this is the church at Antioch. The power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. And when the church at Jerusalem heard what had happened, they sent Barnabas to Antioch, and when he arrived, he saw the what? The evidence of God's blessings. Yeah, evidence of God's blessings. He was filled with joy and he encouraged the believers to stay true to the Lord. How do you know that God's hand is on a church? Look at the evidence. Look at the people coming to Christ every week. I told a group of people earlier this weekend that we've been doing a series of messages on giving sacrificially to the future of Edge Church, to buy into building. You know, we've had as many people commit their lives to Christ during this teaching series as any series that I can remember. You know, that's the Lord. That is God. And you know what? We want to buy this building because we want to be a blessing. Just like Abraham was a blessing to the people that were around him, we want to bless the world. We want to bless our community. We want to be a church that's blessing people. And that's why today I'm asking you to step out into faith and courage and to do something great for God today. Because you know why? This isn't about us. This is about blessing others, is really what the whole Shake the City project's about. You're going to sum this whole thing up. It's about blessing. It's about blessing others. Tyler showed up at Edge Church on accident, and he was looking for another church down the way. But you know what? He came in here and heard the gospel, committed his life to Jesus Christ. You know what? He was baptized that day. First visit. Blessing. Blessing. Chandra was an atheist for a really long time. And January last year, she was sitting right over here on the front row, came to one of our first services in this facility, raised her hand, committed her life to Christ. Her life has never been the same. Now she serves in the student ministry. That's what we call blessing. 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 And then there's Lexi and Nick. They were going through some personal struggles in their own lives. They came to church. Lexi had never been to church before. She thought maybe somebody could help me at church. And Gina had an opportunity to lead her to faith in Christ over at Barnes & Noble after she first started coming to the church. And then Nick prayed to receive Christ in my office not too long after that. And now this couple has been married. They have a beautiful baby boy that was just born, and they're raising their son in the church. Isn't that beautiful? Blessing! Blessing! There's Terry and Tracy. They were sisters that came to our very first service here at this building. And Terry was mad at God because her husband had died. But she came with her sister that day. Both of them committed their lives to Jesus Christ and have never been the same since. Blessing. Blessing, Edge Church. Blessing. And then there's Tim. Tim grew up with a religious background, but he had never met Christ before. He had done the religious thing. He had been to church, but he had never met the Savior of the world. And at Edge Church, he made that commitment, and his life has never been the same. Here's Melissa. Here's Melissa. Blessing. Here's Jeff. Blessing. Here's Doss. Blessing. Here's Chris. Blessing. Here's Darren. Blessing. Here's Amanda. Blessing. Come on, stand to your feet, Edge Church. Here's Eric. Blessing. Here's Danielle. Blessing. Here's Aaron. Blessing. Here's Ben. Blessing. Here's Satiko. Blessing. Here's Robert. Blessing. Here's Linda. Blessing. Here's Dustin. Blessing. Beverly. Blessing. Gator. Blessing. Megan. Blessing. Scott. Blessing. Nate. Blessing. 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 Jesus. 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 Life change. Life change. Life change. Life change.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go on.